The Hidden Wife by Joanna Rees, read by Sarah Ovens. Chapter 1, March 1928. Vita Casey stood in the wings of Les Folies Bergères, a couple of silk robes hanging loosely over her arm. She heard a collective gasp and leaned forward to see the bright platinum hair of Julianne as she flew in a languorous arc, her knees hooked over the trapeze. From the shadows, Vita could see only a small section of the enthralled audience, but the sheer joie de vivre, as the French reviewers put it, was palpable in the air. It was hardly surprising, Vita thought, ever since Josephine Baker had performed her sensational dance 2 years ago, wearing nothing more than a skirt made of fake bananas. It was one of the Paris night spots. Vita quickly ducked back as the new section started, and the line of bare-breasted dancers ran in from the back, down the central aisle, and up onto the stage, to the sound of the slurring, raucous trombones. The girls whooped now, high-kicking and moving shoulder to shoulder in their perfect line, and the audience, as many women as men, clapped and cheered. Vita saw her best friend, Nancy, whiz past, the red ruffle skirt revealing her toned legs. She winked at Vita, her cheeks highly rouged, her lips glossy, the giant white feather headdress bobbing. Vita waved dutifully, but she missed the Nancy of old, not this crazy Follies girl who was high every night, as if she had a duty to be the most daring, the most outrageous. Has Nancy always been like this? Vita wondered. She supposed she had, but she missed the days when it had been just the two of them against the world. Back then, when Vita had raced onto the train out of London at the last possible minute, running for her life from her crazed, vengeful brother, with only her friend Edith's passport and the clothes on her back. Her head had been in a complete spin. But Nancy, ever practical, had turned their terrifying flight to the continent into a real adventure. They hadn't even stopped in Paris, which was as far as Vita herself had ever dreamt of going. Nancy had insisted that they go properly to ground for a while, and so they'd changed trains straight away at the Gare du Nord to travel south with Mr. Wilde, Nancy's little dog. They'd kept going all the way to Rome, and then onto a glorious villa of some old family friends of Nancy's on the Amalfi Coast for Christmas and New Year, until, having drunk the cellar dry, they'd thoroughly outstayed their welcome. The pair had scrimped by on Nancy's diminishing trust fund, although they'd never turned down a free meal from fellow travellers. And since Nancy was such an incorrigible flirt, and Mr. Wilde managed to make friends wherever they went, their self-imposed exile often bordered on something very much like fun. But then the money had run out, and Nancy had declared that the best place to re-establish themselves would be Paris. Vita didn't want to go there, but Nancy was insistent. Vita was terrified that her brother Clement would still be looking for her, but Nancy had argued that after all these months, Clement was almost certainly tired of hunting for her, and Vita had nothing to be scared of. With her knack of putting a positive glow on even the worst situation, Nancy reasoned that they'd been on the run long enough, and Vita wasn't Anna Darton anymore, the girl who'd fled her abusive family. She didn't need to be that downtrodden, scared little daughter of a Lancashire cotton mill owner, but could fulfil her destiny as Vita Casey, a designer, an all-round fabulous girl about town. "Because Paris, darling," she decreed in her American drawl, "is the only place to be." So Vita had relented, telling herself that even though she'd changed her name once before, hidden in the heart of the metropolis, and Clement had still managed to find her, Nancy was right, and it wouldn't be the same here in Paris. Surely. Not in the heart of the most changeable city in the world. Besides, Nancy had been so good to her. Who was she to dampen Nancy's dreams of taking Paris by storm? When they'd first arrived, fizzing with excitement, Vita had assumed that Nancy wanted to come good on the promise.